Good afternoon and welcome to MoneyWeb at Midday with myself, Nastasia Aaron. So it's just gone 5 minutes after 12. Coming up on the show, we're going to be analyzing Consolidated Infrastructure Group. The company released their numbers yesterday, but unfortunately, there were some losses, and it basically laid bare the scale of the disastrous financial year that Consolidated Infrastructure Group went through. And this was as a result of its oldest subsidiary, the power generation business Conco, and that resulted in a 441 million rand loss. So we're going to be talking to Simon Brown from Just One Lap about what exactly is happening at Consolidated Infrastructure Group, and then we'll check in on the markets with Pretri Riedelinghuis, who's the founder at Herenia Capital. We'll talk about the sense announcement that came out of Advertech early this morning about they uncovered fraud by a financial manager in its school division, and they're saying that it will reduce the revenue and operating profit that it reported in its past three financial years. And then also news out of Sens was Barclays will sell its 7% stake in the Barclays Africa Group, and they're saying that this current sale in its stake would be a 14.9%, which represents what they claim is the desired long-term goal, and no further sales are planned at this stage. Stay tuned, all this is coming up. Earlier today, I had a conversation with Simon Brown from Just One Lap about the results out of Consolidated Infrastructure Group. And we also touched on where this company has come from, and they also touched on the management structure within the company. This is that conversation.
Well, we break them into three parts. The first part is the Conlog, which is the recent acquisition, and that's doing perfectly fine. They've got the AES, which is cleaning up after oil rigs in Angola. That was a little disappointing, but in truth, we understand there's less rigs. We can see what's happening to the oil price. So that was disappointing, but not completely out of the blue. And then we come to the problem child, and that's Conco. So Conco is the energy division. It includes doing green energy projects in South Africa, which have been on hold now for over a year as we wait sign-off from Eskom, and then projects into Africa as well. And that, frankly, was an absolute disaster on pretty much every level. Fairly significant loss coming through, projects that had seemed to be highly profitable, not the case. And perhaps most importantly, in breach of their debt covenants, which basically means that if certain ratios aren't happening, the lenders of the money can recall it. Now, they've said to them, you can have an extension, but that extension's only until mid-February. So they've basically got 2 months to come up with either better numbers and better internal processes that convince the debt holders, or they need to find the money. And either one is going to be an exceedingly tough ask between now and mid-Feb.
And they've established a war room. Do you think that will even help them out?
Look, in my immediate response, too little, too late, perhaps. That's my key concern. Yeah, if they had perhaps more runway, if they didn't have the debt covenant breach, perhaps this could help them. Certainly, this is something which, in hindsight, they should have had, probably installed 5 or 6 years ago in terms of managing projects devolving the processes down to very much sort of middle management, I suppose. Mm-hmm. The war room's a nice idea, but I'm not sure. They're bigger issues. They need a big, giant amount of money. And whilst the war room is looking at new projects going forward and sort of getting current projects working, that cash flow is what they need. And these projects are typically fairly, lengthy projects. They don't happen quite quickly. They'll run over a number of years, even the smaller ones, and that cash crunch is staring at them. So I think their immediate focus is either a rights issue, which I think they're probably not going to want to do at current share prices of below 4 rand post the results. Alternatively, to sell some assets to try and raise cash, and I'm not sure what they've got that they'd really want to sell.
I was reading a couple of the notes from Keith McLachlan, and I remember, I think, when the different trading updates kept coming out, I think they had their third or their fourth one. Keith decided, you know what, we're not going to hold CIL anymore. And then he actually gave, you know, took us a step back as to where they thought the core value was within CIL. What do we know so far about the overall business and management? Is this something completely different that they're going through? It's a new chapter, or over the years, how has the business been performing?
Well, the business has done, it's done fairly well. And if we go back a little over 2 years ago, you know, the share price was up 37 Rand, and that's back to October 2015, so literally just over 2 years ago. Mm. And they were doing very well, particularly Conco was the big driver in terms of the profits. The other bits, they've also got the building supply division, which is sort of legacy and very small. AES was still doing okay. Conlog only came on board early in this financial year. So the business was doing okay, but there were some stresses, and a lot of those stresses were coming from delays with Eskom, and that a lot of the market kind of gave them a pass on that, although in truth, that share price, as I say, has been sliding and is now, what, 90-odd percent down off those highs. And I think the issue was is that, you know, in hindsight, and hindsight's a dangerous thing, but it's where we sit right now. In hindsight, the oversight and management of Conco was perhaps lax. And the one perhaps insight we got to that was earlier this year, Group 5 published results, and they basically shut down their energy division. They said, you know, it's just, we're not seeing the business, we're not seeing the flows, we've got a lot of people who are sitting here earning salaries and not doing anything. So we could see that there were definitely stresses in the space, which is not a consolidated problem. I mean, those come from the outside. But they made them perhaps worse with lax management controls internally at the same time.
That's Simon Brown from Just One Lap. After this, it's Pietri Redelinghuis. Time to check in on the markets and see how they're performing thus far. And I'm going to have that conversation with Pietri Redelinghuis from Herenia Capital. Pietri, always a pleasure talking to you. Thanks so much for your time. So how are we doing today?
Thank you very much for having me, Natasha. A bit of a lackluster day, really. Currently, top 40, all the futures trading about 1% down, while the spot market's down sort of around the same area. Industrial index down just over 1%. Resources up a little bit on the day. That's, I think, mainly because we're losing a bit of ground on the rand. But the resource 20 index up around 40 basis points, and the mining index in general up about 61 basis points. The rest of the market really sort of coming under a bit of pressure. Industrial 25 complex, as I mentioned, down 1.1%. Financials down about 0.5%. So the all share index down just over 0.6% as well. The rand itself weakening a little bit versus the dollar. We're trading at 13.73 at the moment, so that's around 13 or so basis points weaker. It seems we've had a very, very strong move come from the rand in the recent days, and it feels as if it's paring back some of those gains that it's made over the last week or so. Mm. So a fairly sort of lackluster performance, I think. I think the main sort of driver behind why our market is coming down so hard is Naspers being down 3.3%. This, of course, just keeping pace with what Tencent is doing in China, and it being such a heavyweight on our index, dragging the whole industrial complex as well as the top 40 index quite a bit lower.
Right. And on the company news side, any information from Sense that caught your attention? I saw that Advitech announcement where they have uncovered some fraud in their schools division. Did you get a chance to look at that?
Yeah, so the Advitech thing is basically a voluntary disclosure. It wasn't a very big case of fraud. Mm. They're saying that the cash component of money stolen was 5 million rand, of which they've managed to, they've put an interdict against the people who did the case, and they've managed to freeze accounts, so they should be able to recover about 2 million rand of that. And the other 3 million rand should be covered by insurance. Mm. It does, however, have an impact on their profit numbers over the last couple of years, since 2015 till now. So it's about 2 years. So in total, that effect, in taking into account the after-tax effect, so their profit after tax essentially is down by 35.5 million rand. Mm. So I suppose it is a bit of a blow, but it's not the worst that could have happened. It's not a massive, massive case of fraud. Nonetheless, it's still not a nice thing to happen. Mm. The share price itself down today by some 3.7%. It opened up this morning. Well, it opened lower this morning, obviously, and then traded down quite a bit, almost a rand. I mean, I think it opened the day at around 16 rand and it traded all the way down to around 15, 14. And is now currently trading at the 15.63 level again. So it seems as though, you know, the share is obviously being hammered a little bit on the same article that came out, or on the reports of fraud, or the disclosure of fraud, let me put it that way. But, you know, it's not being absolutely hammered like we saw, you know, with Steinhoff and those types of things, simply because it's not that big of a deal, really. It's only a very, very small amount that they managed to get away with, and it will all be recovered. It just sort of messes with the earnings estimates and the assumptions that people have made on the profitability of the company over the last couple of years. And obviously some money lost from what was stolen, you know, that needs to be recovered. But I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. They very kindly say in their trading statement that they, you know, that doesn't affect any of the fees that the students have to pay to be in the schools. It doesn't affect any of the quality of the education. It's just a couple of people in head office, or one person in head office, colluding with an external service provider to siphon some money out of the business, and they caught them. So it's a nice thing, I think, that they're disclosing it, rather than, you know, it's not really necessary for them to disclose it, to be honest, but I think it's a good thing that they are disclosing it. It will come out in the next set of financial results in any case, so rather prepare the market by telling them upfront.
All right. Looking back at the week that was, any numbers that I suppose fascinated or worried you? For me, it was just yesterday, Consolidated Infrastructure Group's results following the trading update from hell last month. What did you think of that?
Yeah, that sold a share of 60% in a day. Eh? Yes. Every day you see that. So I was watching. I was watching for the results. I heard you chatting to Simon earlier today about that. So I'm quite glad those results are out. The share is sort of down 3.6% for the day. So I think the market's kind of priced in the worst of the worst here. You know, I think that the sense, you know, the results are actually not as bad as what the expectation was, perhaps. So hopefully we can see a bit of a recovery in the share price. I'm not too sure that we're going to go back up to 20 Rand in the next couple of days.
But, yeah.
You know, maybe a move back up to like 5 Rand a share would be I would envision over the next couple of days. So I'm hoping that there's a bit of positive response to that. However, the share is slightly down on the day, keeping in mind that it's not the most liquid share in the whole wide world either. So to get it up higher than this, you know, might be a bit of a challenge.
All right. Going into next week, any particular events or company results or numbers that you're going to be looking at?
Next week, nothing really in particular. I think a lot of the risk was, we came into this week with the downgrade, and my sort of expectation was for the rand to weaken quite a bit, and for our market to, you know, banks and retailers to come under pressure. And the exact opposite to that happened. The rand strengthened quite a bit. We've seen throughout the course of the week that there's quite a bit of support for Cyril Ramaphosa, so to take over the leadership of the ANC in December. Well, it is now December, actually, so a bit later on this month. You know, I think that I'm hoping to see a bit of see more and more news around which provinces back which candidate, essentially, going into next week. This week, I think, though, that, you know, the surprise move, if I can call it that, which is the rand strengthening, banks and retailers running, and rand hedges coming under pressure because of the move in the rand, took me a little bit by surprise, but I think that it's a very positive sign that, you know, we weren't downgraded by Moody's. We were put on sort of credit, or, you know, on ratings review, which isn't positive, but it's better than being downgraded by them. So I think that my main focus really kind of shifts now to the ANC elective conference later on this month. And then also just to see what the performance of the rand is going to be. I'm interested to see whether or not we pull back from here, maybe back up to 13.95, 14 rand before strengthening again further into the rest of the year, or whether or not, you know, we weaken for the rest of the year. At this point, I can't really make a call on which direction I think that's going to go, so I'll be keeping an eye on that. And otherwise, I suppose just following Naspash. Naspash has been coming under pressure. It's now down over 10% from its highs. it did run incredibly hard on the back of Tencent results as well as its own results, the trading statement that it put out. And it added quite a few percentage points to the overall market. And I think that we're seeing a bit of a pullback there. How much deeper this goes, I'm not too sure. However, another 5 or 6% down from here wouldn't be too surprising. So my sort of eyes will be on how far Naspash pulls back and whether or not that turns into a buying opportunity, later part of next week or perhaps the early part of the week after that.
All right, Pietri, thanks so much for your time.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
That's Pietri Riedeling-Hayes from Herenia Capital. That's it from me, Nastasia Aronsa. Tune in later on the SAFM Market Update with Warren Thompson.